Coming up on Colchonero Chat, Robbie and I are joined by Davis von Updorp from Bavarian Football Works. We will discuss Atletico Madrid and Bayern Munich from midweek. A great game. Lots to discuss from there. We'll also preview Atletico's game at Mestalla this weekend against Valencia before the international break. And while we have Davis here, we'll talk to him about Bayern's game against Cologne at the weekend and much more. Stick with us. Great to be here, guys. Welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. Jeremy Barron here. You can get at me on Twitter, at JB Barron. Robbie Dunn back in the building.
Hello there.
You can follow Robbie at Robbie J. Dunn. And we are joined today by a special guest. He is a reporter for Deutsche Welle in Germany, and an editor, contributing editor at Bavarian Football Works. It's Davis von Updorp. David, how you doing?
Good. I'm good. It's all right.
My mistake. Hopefully the only mistake, but I can never guarantee that. So Davis von Updorp joins us today. And a reason he's here, A, because he's a great guy, and B, because we have much to discuss from Wednesday's game, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich, and the Champions League group stage, a highly touted rematch of last year's classic semifinal. And this game, it was another great game, very intense game, had me on the edge of my seat. I'm sure it had both of you on the edge of your seats as well.
Yep, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was an interesting game because, this is a Bayern team that actually looked a lot different than the Guardiola team that visited the Calderon last year. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated by the way Ancelotti changed the way Bayern approached this game. But I think that Atletico was just, you saw the way that they defended. I mean, they were pressing Bayern up so far in their own half that and then even when the ball went into Atletico's half, they were defending extremely well. And I thought that the way that Atletico adjusted was remarkable. I mean, for me as a Bayern, someone that covers Bayern, obviously I don't get to see Atletico play that much, but it's amazing the way that Simeone has drilled this team to the point where everybody knows exactly where they need to be when a ball is in a certain part of the pitch, and I think that's why Atletico won.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you say that, David, because I was just thinking that, and I was saying it the other day, just to see the likes of Muller, he can cause all sorts of problems when he cuts in from the right, because he tends to lose the left back, and then there's mix-ups and teams that aren't well drilled, and then Lewandowski dropping, that can cause problems. But just to watch Gavi pointing and their communication on the field, and Godin and Saul knowing exactly where he needed to go in order to kill space, to kill the kind of space that Muller thrives on, it was just fascinating. And to see Atletico push up so high on Bayern, and to see such positive substitutions also, like he took off Carrasco for Gaetan, a like-for-like switch, whereas yep. Maybe the Simeone of old, and I understand that this is due to the fact that he doesn't have Thiago on the bench and Augusto's on, but like-for-like replacements, and then he took off, he brought Gamero on. And it was just very positive from Simeone, and a team that's that well drilled, playing positive football with confidence, it's just a whole lot of fun to watch, you know.
And that's a very good point you make at the end there, Robbie. The changes were positive because Atletico were playing positive. Atletico outshot Bayern for the game, more shots on target than Bayern, and all that talent they have in their front line. The changes were very positive, and they were meant to add to the 1-0 lead. Atletico could have put two or three past Bayern Munich in this game, which is kind of stunning, because this is a team not associated with that kind of play. And even though Atletico managed 35% possession approximately over the 90 minutes, it was still such an impressive performance, and it wasn't like the game in Munich last year where Atletico conceded so many great chances and got out of there by the skin of their teeth. this was a lot more comfortable. And it speaks to the changes that Simeone has made and the tweaks that he's made to the playing style. So
I'll say this because I was actually at that game in Munich, covering the game for Deutsche Welle, and I thought that, I mean, whenever you obviously there's obviously that home feel to a game, and you saw that in the first leg of that first game in April. I mean, Bayern didn't actually. I thought Bayern was very attacking, but they didn't have the confidence in finishing like they did when they were playing in Munich. I mean, you saw that goal from I think it was Lewandowski, that first goal, and then Coman. Obviously, he came in and he had so much energy and so much confidence from playing at that home game in Allianz Arena. And you saw also that the crowd in Allianz Arena in that second game was they were really pumping their team for most of the game. And I think that's something that obviously the Calderon does also really well, that the crowd energy really feeds into that team. And then that's why I think that when you saw that game on Wednesday, it was, I mean, all Atletico was playing in such a uniform way. I mean, the balls that Xabi Alonso normally can make in the Bundesliga, it just wasn't happening against Atletico Madrid because they were at just a different level of confidence playing in the Calderon, which is why I think it's so difficult to beat them there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and there was a couple of balls down the sideline that Philippe Lahm would generally control in his sleep, and he missed them and seemed to be getting into his head, and Xabi Alonso's shoulders were slumped, and the crowd knew that, and they were getting on top of him, it definitely added to that, and I think the fans actually understand that as well, due to the fact that it's almost like Atletico now are switching roles with a lot of these bigger teams, because before Atletico were going in as the complete and utter underdog, they knew that, their opponents knew that, and it was just a case of backs to the wall stuff. Whereas now there's kind of a shifting dynamic whereby Atletico are fancy themselves, and they understand now that they're a really good football team. Simeone, the shackles off a little bit, and they're going out and they're playing their football, and I think we saw that on Wednesday night, and I think Bayern understood that too. They know, as hard as they play and as physically as they play, they know that this Atletico team can really, really hurt you if you make mistakes. Being at home at the Vicente Calderon is, with that kind of noise and everything, once they get on top of you, it's really hard to struggle or to grasp control of the game again. They lost it after 10 minutes and they simply never got it back.
Well, you saw, if you look at some of the Bayern players' comments coming into the game, so Bayern Munich, if your listeners don't know, they actually have obviously not performed well in Spain against any of the top Spanish teams.
Haven't scored in the last four now.
Yeah, so they're a team that they haven't scored in Spain since their treble year 2013. So they were just trying to get anything that they could get out of that game. And I think that Atletico actually went in as the favorites, and they were actually playing like favorites. I think they were playing as a team that knew that they were better than their opponent. And I think Bayern Munich could not just. The game was intense from minute 1 to minute 90. I mean, I think Antoine Griezmann had a shot that was blocked at maybe 10 seconds the opening whistle. Yep. I mean, this game was in overdrive from the very beginning, and I think that I think that's an intensity level that Bayern just couldn't match in the end, and I think that's why when they made him that Vidal made a mistake playing that ball to Xabi Alonso, I think that's why they felt like they had to match that intensity, which is why Jerome Boateng basically cheated up on Antoine Griezmann, and that ball to Carrasco, Carrasco was basically completely open because of a defensive mistake, but Bayern, I felt like, had to match that intensity, and I think that's what ultimately undid them.
How much could you blame Xabi Alonso for the goal?
I think that his mistake was, it's really hard to, I mean, it was a mistake by Alonso, but it's really hard to blame him from that mistake because there wasn't really that much that he could do with a ball like that. But, I mean, I think it was just an unfortunate situation where a header from him basically was the perfect ball in to Griezmann. And, of course, the quality of player that Griezmann is, of course he's going to play that precise ball to Carrasco because he's the kind of player that is. He did that to Germany in the Euros. And
yeah.
He's that kind of player that if he gets an opening, he's going to exploit it, which a lot of other players wouldn't have that kind of composure that Griezmann has in that situation, which is why I think that Griezmann is so good. He's not only like a quick and pacey player, but he has the composure to be patient enough to play a ball into Carrasco rather than trying to take on the whole Bayern Munich defense by himself.
Composure, his vision, his intelligence, and his work rate as well, which we'll talk about because I really want to talk about that. Most people are just going to see the missed penalty and have the takes based on the missed penalty, but Griezmann does so many little things. Simeone said after the game, Griezmann did 1,000 things during the game that, you know, alleviated the missed penalty. And the assist on the Carrasco goal was one of them. His work rate, tracking back, dropping to the wing, that's another one. He just does so many things so well, and he's so essential to this team for more than his goal scoring, which, you know, he's up to 5 goals in the league already, which he didn't hit till November last season.
I know it might sound silly, given the fact that he's a top 5 player in the world, and slowly and steadily moving up that ranking, up that list. But he just continues to surprise me as to how good he actually is. He's technically so, like they say, that the game slows down for the very, very best. I mean, you look at Zidane and how slow everything seemed for him. Griezmann just seems—he's so technically good that he seems to be just a step ahead of everyone on the field. He's able to win back possession. He can go around people. He just sees tackles coming. It just, the game slows down for him, and it's just a sign of a world-class player. And it's just exciting to see how good he's actually going to be this year, because that's a lot of goals. And he missed the first game, but that's a lot of goals. And he's just their talisman, obviously, and he's just a fantastic footballer to watch.
So Griezmann's got 5 now. Carrasco just got his first. How about that goal that he scored, though? Off the post and in.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a great finish. I mean, I saw a little bit of his play at Monaco, and he's obviously a player that has a lot of potential. I just think that he's obviously not as technically good, I think, as Griezmann is, but he knows he's a very intelligent player, especially for a player that is of his age, and I think that. He's obviously a Belgian player. He actually played decently well at the Euros as well. I think he has a lot of room to develop, and I don't know if he's ever going to be at the level of someone like Kevin De Bruyne is, but he's a guy that is definitely useful for Atletico Madrid. He's definitely a guy that, as someone that was covering Bayern Munich, that you can't take a guy like that for granted.
No, and this is the thing with Atletico. They've got so many options now that Carrasco, he is the kind of player, and I said this on Twitter, but even since the move from Martial to United the same summer, Atletico signed Carrasco, and it was a case of who's Carrasco? And he still slips under the radar, but he has become so important to that Atletico Madrid side. He offers weight, he offers pace. You're right, Davis, he's not technically... Technically, he struggles at times with his first touch, and he loses the ball a lot. But when he does, he's able to get control of it and understand the space around him. He's technically really good. It's just a matter of kind of... He tends to rush things a little bit, but I think he has... And there was a rumour in AS this week that Barcelona were looking for him, and I mean, that's obvious. But if he continues to play well and score goals in big games like that, it is only a matter of time before, and I don't mean to offend Atletico or Atletico fans, but until a Barcelona come looking for him, or maybe a Manchester United come looking for him, you know?
And I think there's been more of an emphasis placed by Simeone on Carrasco scoring goals. Not so much the dribbling, not so much using his quickness and his dribbling to create space. It's about using that space to score goals. And when Carrasco gets into space, he uses his his speed and his dribbling to just blaze past everybody. But if he can finish, if he can score in the double digits in terms of his goals, that's a huge lift for Atletico, and that means he'll have taken a major step forward. I think he only scored 5 goals last season.
Yeah, he needs to be doubling that if he wants to.
Yeah, and he can. I think he's capable.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So, Atletico's defensive record now at home under Simeone in the Champions League, 4 goals conceded in 18 games. 1 every 7 hours. Other than the Benfica game last year, the last goal they allowed before then was Kaká's goal against Milan in the round of 16, 2.5 years ago. So Atletico at home in the Champions League, you can't score on them. And Stefan Savic told Robert Lewandowski as much. The way Savic marked Lewandowski on Wednesday was remarkable. Massive.
Yeah, I think so. Lewandowski is a player that At the beginning of last season, he obviously was on a complete goal-scoring tear, but it's really that was really because he wasn't really marked that well, and it was because they had players like Douglas Costa and Kingsley Coman, and actually even Mario Götze, who could cross the ball into him. But he was a player that when he actually went up against a good center back, that he struggled at times, and he actually had to take touches away from goal in order to help the build-up play for Bayern Munich and get into the final third. So even though he is, he obviously has a great finishing record, and obviously for Poland as well, he's the focal point for Poland. And you saw in the European Championships when he went against defenses by himself, he's not a player that can score by himself. Someone like Cristiano Ronaldo can, or Lionel Messi can. He needs a player that, like Thomas Müller, to help take the attention away from him from the defense in order for him to perform well. So the fact that if you have someone like Stefan Savic who is marking him basically the entire game, it's really not that hard to take Lewandowski out of the game if you are a top team.
Do you think?
Yeah, because
go ahead, Robbie.
Just for Poland at the Euros, it was kind of a case that it's up to you're up front. Okay, Milik was there beside him, but Milik had a brutal time at the Euros.
Lewandowski's biggest contribution at the Euros was making sure that Andreas Milik was open for Poland. I mean, you saw how many chances that Andreas Milik did not finish off, and the reason why he had those chances in the first place was because that Robert Lewandowski was taking all of the defensive attention away from him. So I feel like there are times when, so Lewandowski is really good, and he demands a lot of attention, but he needs somebody beside him or behind him to take some of that attention away in order for him to be as good of a player, which is why he's a player that is not listed, not really mentioned in the same sentence as Luis Suarez or some of the best attacking talent in La Liga, because he's a player that he cannot create goals by himself.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll always be a stick to beat him with. It'll always be something that holds him down. But yeah, and Müller wasn't much help the other night either.
Müller coming off on the hour.
Ancelotti has been playing Müller on the wing for the most part, for most of the season. And even though he's playing the position more as a right attacking midfielder, he's still a player that a lot of people have criticized the fact that he's not a winger, and that when he plays on the wing, someone else has to compensate for that service on that right side. I mean, you saw when Arjen Robben came into the game on Wednesday. I mean, the difference was night and day, because Arjen Robben is a winger, and he's able to create a lot more on the right wing than Thomas Müller can.
But I understand, and I was chatting to some other Bayern fans yesterday, and they said that Ribéry has had a really good start to the year, and I understand you can't drop Müller, but why wouldn't a player like Coman start and maybe give Philippe Luis something to think about?
Well, I think that Thomas Müller is a player that combines really well with the midfielders around him, and that's part of the reason he's a great one-touch player. Like, he's a player that can set up a chance by himself with just a touch that you wouldn't expect him to to set it up in his you saw the movement that he had, the awareness that he had to stay onside when Thiago lofted that ball over the top. Not a lot of players have those kinds of instincts, which is why Ancelotti is a manager that likes to keep really good players on the field and likes to try to find a position for players rather than creating a system around players. So you saw when Guardiola used Thomas Müller last year, he used Müller mostly in behind Robert Lewandowski. He never played Thomas Müller on the wing, but Ancelotti is more of a manager that wants to have as many good players on the field at once, which is why you see a guy like Thomas Müller get chosen over a player like Kingsley Coman, because Ancelotti would rather have those kinds of instincts in the team than have a player that makes tactical sense like Kingsley Coman on the right wing.
Do you think that that setup and that and that philosophy constricted Bayern at all on Wednesday?
I would say so. I mean, I think Felipe Luis had a really good game. I know that Kicker magazine here in Germany gave Felipe Luis top marks, and that, I mean, not only defensively, but in the attacking third as well. And I think, I mean, you saw when Bayern, I think the best way to beat Atletico Madrid is having players that have great individual skill. And you saw with David Alaba and Thiago, when they showed their individual skill, they were able to create the space themselves to be able to do things against Atletico Madrid. Thomas Müller is not that kind of player, which is why when Ancelotti picked him, it was a little bit of a hindrance, but I think also what Atletico does really well is they don't allow teams to play the way that they normally are able to play. Bayern Munich did not play the way that they've been playing for most of the season. In all of the games where Ancelotti had won all eight of the games going into that game, but what Atletico does so well, like I said, they take what they do best, and they take that away from them, and that's why teams don't really know what to do when they have their best attributes taken away from them.
Yeah, just how different was this from the eight other games that Bayern played this season? How different was this?
Well, I think the way that Bayern succeeded for most of the season so far is they were able to combine really well, and they also were able to create a lot on the flanks. That's why Lewandowski was able to be so successful against Werder Bremen in the first game, and why he was able to. Most of his goals have come from service that was outside of the box. I mean, Philipp Lahm set him up really well in, I think it was the first half. I mean, he gave him basically a perfect ball, and that's the kind of service that Lewandowski needs to be able to score goals. And because they weren't able to switch, I mean, Bayern Munich weren't able to switch the play, I think, at all during the game, and that's because Atletico was able to have the right play. I mean, Diego Simeone has that team drilled so incredibly well that Bayern, all the balls that Bayern were able to make against teams like Hertha Berlin or Hamburg, they couldn't make against Atletico Madrid because Juan Fran was there to intercept the ball, or Felipe Luis was there to intercept the ball, or even Gavi was playing deep enough that the chances were taken away from them.
Yeah. One thing I do know is that the return game in the league, this section of the Champions League is going to be exciting at the Allianz Arena.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so you saw the game last year. There's a level of confidence that Bayern Munich have at home that sometimes they just don't have. I mean, Allianz Arena is an arena that actually is, the noise is pretty well closed in. I mean, the roof is basically a shell around the entire stadium, so the noise is compacted really well. Against Rostov, they beat that. Rostov had no chance in that game, and that's because Bayern play. I mean, whenever they play a pot four team at home, they always beat them 5-0 because
always.
They have the south stands, the south section of the stands behind them was just called the Südtribüne. They had that behind them, and they, I mean, they play at a completely different level.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting. It's likely going to decide the group, as PSV and Rostov drew 2-2 in a pretty entertaining game in Russia. Atletico play Rostov next, and I talked about this with Martin Connolly, our own Martin Connolly, on the last podcast. The games against Rostov, I think, are going to be most important for Atletico. Robbie, would you agree?
I just lost you for a second.
Yeah, forgive me. It's a little different atmosphere today, but the games against Rostov, I think that they're going to be more important. I talked about this with Martin on the last pod, that they're going to be more important than the Bayern Munich game. As good as this game was, as important as it was for Atletico to start the group with 2 wins from 2 and be in control on 6 points, the games against Rostov, however, those are must-wins.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to one of the guys at the game on Wednesday, Kieran Canning, and he was just saying that he was explaining and something that I hadn't thought about. Because we were saying it's probably just going to be a draw. We thought it was just going to be a boring 1-1 draw, 0-0 maybe. And the reason being that Atletico are probably better off finishing second, because if they finish first, they can't play Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or Barcelona, obviously, or Bayern. So there's three of the top teams. So they're likely to get if they finish second, they're likely to play like a Leicester, who finished first in their group, or something like that. You get me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, I think for the way that the new Champions League format is that they obviously reward teams that have won their league, and Leicester, and then because Leicester won the league, they're one of Leicester's draw is unbelievable.
I was stunned.
The toughest team that they have is Porto, and they obviously are going to beat Porto at home. The groups themselves are more competitive, but the top teams that come out of those groups, when it gets to the round of 16, those are the level of that. That's where the new format of the Champions League really takes shape, because you saw a team like Arsenal have to go to a team like Monaco. I think it was last year, and Monaco was supposed to be a good draw for them, but Monaco obviously beat them in the round of 16. I think it's going to be, like you said, it might be an easier draw for the second place team, because they'll have all of these weak group winners that they're able to get, whereas whoever wins the group could get someone who finishes second out of that group from Barcelona, Manchester City, or Borussia Mönchengladbach, or someone like Tottenham or Bayer Leverkusen or Monaco. Those are tough groups, and those are opponents that, as someone that reports on Bayern Munich probably doesn't want to play any of those teams as the first place winner. I mean, you saw Bayern Munich play Juventus in the round of 16 last year. That's not a draw that they would have wanted, but it's a likely draw because of the new Champions League lineup.
If Bayern Munich, Manchester City in the round of 16 would be tasty, but yeah, that's definitely something to look for.
What is the type of team that Atletico Madrid could draw if they win their group? Whereas it's really it's impossible for Atletico to draw Barcelona. So if Barcelona and Atletico Madrid both win their groups, that makes it really likely that they're going to face Manchester City in the next round. Whereas if they finish second, they can't draw Barcelona, so they're going to get one of those weaker first place teams.
Right. And that's with the reformatting, that's how it's turned out now. So Atletico are top on 6 points. Bayern are in second on 3 points. PSV and Rostov are level on a point apiece. And Atletico look to be in control right now, but this group is going to go down to the last day, to the very last match day. That game at Allianz Arena is going to be one not to miss. And obviously we can't talk a whole lot about that since it's in December and we're not even in October yet, so we can't really talk about what changes they're would be, because there could be injuries, there could be a lot of different things that go on. But what can Ancelotti do? What can this Bayern team do back in Munich to get the better of Atletico? What changes do they need to make from this game?
Well, I think the biggest thing to recognize about this Ancelotti experience at Bayern Munich is that even though they've been so successful in their first eight games, this is still a manager that's trying to bring his ideas into a new team. And I think, actually, by December, he'll have his rotation policy pretty much down. He's been trying to include players like Renato Sanchez, who of course performed extremely well at the European Championship, so he's trying to get these guys in form. Of course, Arjen Robben, who came off the bench and looked really well against Atletico Madrid, he spent most of the summer injured, so he's a player that needs to get back up to speed. I think it's going to be interesting for Atletico fans out there to monitor how these veterans from Bayern Munich, like Robin, like Ribery, progress into the season. If Ancelotti can get a good rotation policy down, I think the team the Bayern team that plays Atletico Madrid in December is actually going to be very different from the team that played on Wednesday.
Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Douglas Costa will obviously be back by then, because he was unavailable.
Yeah, for sure. He's a huge player because he obviously came in from Shakhtar Donetsk last year and was really electric at first, but then it kind of tailed off at the end of the season. So the way that Ancelotti can kind of release him, I'm very interested to see, especially Douglas Costa, to see how he does under Ancelotti.
He's the kind of player who could actually turn the game and who could really upset Atletico. And like you said, last year in the second leg at the Allianz Arena, I think he was one of the reasons, maybe, or I'm not sure, but yeah, like you said, those kind of players, Bayern had so many really good chances at the end, like they
he was
really
very dangerous.
Suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that kind of pace on the wings.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, Douglas Costa really excels in one-on-one situations, which is why Pep Guardiola brought him to Bayern Munich in the first place. And I think in that game yesterday, on Wednesday, I think that his one-on-one ability against someone like Juan Fran or Felipe Luis, that would have really made a difference in that game.
Well, the return leg should be very exciting, and again, it is likely a game that's going to decide Group D and decide who gets first place, who gets second. If Bayern Munich will play Manchester City, we'll find out. But that game's done, over with. It was a very exciting game. Atletico still unbeaten on the season. That run will extend into October, and Atletico will play at Valencia this weekend. Robbie, I'll start with you on this game. No Diego Godin, as he sprained his ankle at the very end of the game Wednesday. So Savic will be partnered by Golden Boy nominee Lucas Hernandez in the center of defense. Is this a trap game for Atletico Madrid? Because Valencia have won their last two. They have a new manager. Prandelli was appointed yesterday, although Voro will be in the dugout on Sunday. Can Valencia come away with a draw or a win here?
But I honestly think that maybe with Godin out, it's a real chance for Lucas Hernandez, who has done excellent anytime he's been asked to step in. He did against Deportivo La Coruña. He was brilliant that day, despite the fact that he wasn't asked to do much defensively. He was still excellent in everything he did do. And also it gives us a chance to kind of see who is the real Stefan Savage. I'm not saying this is the truth, but most players, would Diego Godin makes central defenders look good. Like, I mean, you step in beside Diego Godin and he's going to improve you as a player. So, and I'm not saying that Savage is that's the only reason why Savage's form is so good, but it's definitely a factor. And it's going to give us a chance maybe to see Stefan Savage step into that kind of leadership role. And I mean, Diego Godin is 30 now, and he's obviously not going to play forever, but it's a chance for us to see what kind of a combination Savage and Lucas Hernandez can muster up together and whether or not they've got a good repertoire, and it's going to be needed. There's going to be plenty of attacking by Valencia, I'd imagine. I mean, they've got a very attacking team, Santi Mina, Nani, players like this who are and I think that's Valencia's only really chance to if they go into a shootout with Atletico. And it'll be interesting to see whether Simeone does sit back a little bit more, hit them on the counter, as opposed to the more offensive style we've been seeing from him lately. But yeah, Valencia have every chance of getting a point if it turns into a shootout. But if Atletico can hold them off, and then there's goals in it for Atletico, maybe 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, I think
is this going to be the type of game where Jose Jimenez is going to be missed by Atletico Madrid?
It could be. Lucas has only played once this season. A handful of appearances last season, although he was excellent when he did play. But yeah, Jose Ma's out till after international break. So this is one of those games where Simeone would normally play Jimenez, but unfortunately he is not available. Jimenez is sometimes such a strange player. He kind of has the whole headless chicken act he does, where he's sometimes just out of control, makes really wild decisions, but he's also extremely talented. And with the kind of pace that Valencia can offer, with the kind of young attacking talent they have, Santi Mina, Munir, we got him from Barcelona, obviously, this summer. That's a game where Jose Ma can use his speed, and he'd be a busy beaver, but he could use his speed to track those guys down. Savage and Lucas, both positionally very excellent. I think Atletico could have their hands full this weekend, and this is a game where they would miss Jimenez.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Obviously, any team with a new manager tends to get that new manager boost.
Absolutely.
For a couple of games. So yeah, and Valencia are the top club in Europe, and they've been in the doldrums now for a while since Nuno Espirito Santo left, and they're due some kind of a comeback, and they do have the kind of players they can. But I just think Atletico moved into a different realm. They're on a different level now. And 3-1, I'm going to predict.
I'm going to go with a draw. I'm going to guess 1-1 draw at Mestalla. I think this could be a trap game. I really do. I hope I'm proven wrong. But I think that this could be a little bit of a Champions League hangover. Maybe just a little bit.
Right, okay.
And Atletico would stay unbeaten, but this would be a nice win to get to head into international break, just a couple points off the top of the table, with Real Madrid having drawn 3 in a row, and Barcelona looking a little uneven, honestly. Davis, Bayern Munich play at home this weekend against Cologne. Tell us a little bit about that game, what to expect from both sides.
Well, Cologne is actually off to their best start since 1987.
Wow.
And they are actually a very tactically conservative team. They're not a team like Atletico or like Leipzig that likes to play this kind of counter-pressing football, but they're more of a defensively sound. They actually, one of their defenders, Dominic Moreau, has missed the last few games, who is arguably their best defender, but they seem to not really skip a beat. But they have an Austrian coach named Peter Stöger who likes to play in a who would rather play a guy like Jonas Hector, or a German international, who is a defender. He'd rather play that kind of guy in midfield than actually try to go for it at the end of games. I think that the team is going to be tough to break down. But I also think that Bayern Munich, they usually, when they lose in the Champions League, they try to make up for it in the Bundesliga. I think the only exception to that was actually against when they tried to win the league against Borussia Mönchengladbach between the two legs, against Atletico Madrid last year. But I think that was because Pep Guardiola wanted to make sure that the team was ready against Atletico Madrid in the second leg. But I think that because it's before the international break, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot more players that normally would sit after the Champions League actually play. I wouldn't be surprised if Xabi Alonso actually got another game on the weekend, even though Ancelotti has mostly tried to save him for the biggest games. But they so Bayern Munich, if you're an Atletico fan watching this game, I'll say that Joshua Kimmich is a very interesting player for Bayern Munich. He came on in the second half against Atletico Madrid, was not really able to do much, but he's a player that's only 21, young like a lot of the players at Atletico Madrid, but he is a player that's really learning the game quickly. He is a very intelligent player. A lot of people have compared him to Philipp Lahm, even though he plays in midfield, but he's actually gotten a couple of goals this season already. I think he has 3 goals in all competition. I think he's going to start against Cologne, and I think he could be a really big difference maker for Bayern Munich. And the other thing to watch for, of course, also is that Arjen Robben is probably going to start against Cologne after getting coming off the bench twice, not only in the Champions League against Atletico Madrid, but he also came off the bench the week before. I think the way that he plays is going to be very interesting to watch, because as he's gotten later into his career, he's become less selfish, and he's actually been able to combine with really well with the players. And actually, I think that's something that Pep Guardiola added to his game when Pep Guardiola was there, that Arjen Robben actually combines a lot better with players now than he did before Pep Guardiola was the coach. So I think that the way he combines with players will be interesting to watch. And if he's able to do that, he's going to be big trouble against a team like Atletico Madrid.
And just real quick, Davis, what's the general sentiment on Ancelotti so far?
Well, he is so different from Pep Guardiola. You saw Pep Guardiola when he came to Bayern Munich. He tried to do a lot of his press conferences in German. But even you see in his press conference now, I think he tries to give the press what they want to hear rather than actual answers. Mm-hmm. I think it's really funny to listen to what the English press is writing about Pep Guardiola, because they take every quote that he says literally, which you really can't do. I mean, Pep Guardiola is a coach that it likes to. I think his comfort zone is to be in the closet by himself and watching the game, whereas Ancelotti is the complete opposite of that. He is a player that relates. He's very comfortable. He has this kind of charm, even though he is the most stoic faced person that you'll meet. He has that kind of charm that is very likable. I mean, you see most of the players that played under him at Real Madrid, they rave about him. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo said that he would definitely, if he had the choice, he'd play for Ancelotti again. He hasn't done that because he's Cristiano Ronaldo. He likes to chase fame, but Ancelotti is a player that relates to players really well, and it kind of tries to set his team up defensively first, and then lets the attack flow as it will, which works much better for players like Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben than someone like Pep Guardiola does. You see, Frank Ribery has actually come out and said that he has a lot more freedom under Ancelotti, which I thought was very interesting, considering that Pep Guardiola at one point was playing Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery on the same flank against Arsenal to try to take advantage of Thomas Vermaelen. So I think that players that that know what they're doing really like Ancelotti. But I think that Ancelotti is going to struggle improving players like Renato Sanchez. I think Renato Sanchez is a very interesting case study, because under Pep Guardiola, I actually think he would have improved much more quickly. But under Ancelotti, he hasn't looked good in his first few games, even though he was the young player of the tournament in the Euros. He hasn't looked good in any of his games he's played for Bayern Munich. Ribery is the player that needs, basically, he's a rhythm player, so he needs to play almost in every game in order to perform at his top level. I mean, Pep Guardiola was managing a really deep squad, so I mean that's the same. I mean, any manager, even Diego Simeone has that problem. He has a lot of great players in his squad that are play at the same level. So how can he? How can Pep Guardiola play everybody at the same time when he's also trying to manage a squad and trying to match up with every single opponent? And I think that's Frank Ribery was kind of always a player that was allowed to play the way that he was, and the way basically be the player that he was. And when Pep Guardiola tried to micromanage his game, I think those two ideas did not clash very well.
Yeah, certainly seems like it. But Ribery has gotten off to a very good start. He looked pretty good in the game Wednesday. A little imprecise, but he looked good. Mostly drawn to Saul, and Saul pressed him pretty well. Gabby did a good job on him, but Ribery's form as the season goes on is definitely something to watch. And this weekend, Atletico are at Mestalla. That's a Sunday afternoon game. Davis, Bayern play Saturday or Sunday?
They will play Saturday afternoon, yeah.
Saturday afternoon at Allianz Arena. If anyone's interested in catching that game, you can follow our colleagues, Bavarian Football Works, great guys. You can follow Davis on Twitter at Davis_VanOpdorp. Should be two very good games. Before we sign off, a couple quick Atletico news bites. Diego Simeone is a father again. His girlfriend gave birth to a daughter yesterday, Francesca Simeone. Congratulations to El Cholo and his girlfriend Carla. Wonderful news there. And perhaps explained a little bit Simeone's elation, pure elation after the win on Wednesday. Possibly could have explained that. And last but not least, Lucas nominated for the Golden Boy Award by Tuttosport, one of 40 nominees. Bayern Munich have Renato Sanchez nominated for that award. Lots of names. Mm-hmm. Lucas has long odds of winning it, but just being in the conversation shows how much progress he's made under Simeone since he was called up in 2013 for a game against Villarreal, I believe, in 2013. So good for Lucas, and good luck to him and his race for that award. But that'll just about do it for us today on Colchonero Chat. Follow me at JB Barron, Robbie at Robbie J. Dunn, Davis at Davis_VanOpdorp. And that'll do it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Get at us on the social media platforms. We're nice people. We really are. And even though two Atletico writers, a Bayern writer, we're all friends here. So this is Jeremy signing off. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Buenas noches.
Adios.